Monday Scramble podcast. Let's take a look at what we've got coming up today. Oh, so close for Rory McIlroy. Jordan Spieth back from 4 weeks away. And what are the chances that Tiger Woods win again? The tour players have spoken out on that. Hello, everybody, and welcome. Matt Adams alongside of Ryan Lavner and Will Gray from GolfChannel.com. Rex Hoggard will be joining us in just a little while. What's going on, boys? Good to see you.
Good to see you, too, Matty.
James Hahn wins for the second time on the PGA Tour at the Wells Fargo Championship. What's the takeaway?
Takeaway is that this one was probably more improbable than his win at Riviera. The guy basically hadn't played on Sunday since Super Bowl Sunday. He hadn't broken 70 in 21 rounds. He missed 8 consecutive cuts. And not only does he win, but he wins at Quail Hollow, which is one of the most difficult courses on the PGA Tour against one of the top fields that we'll see all spring long. It was really impressive, but just goes to show you, Will, any given Sunday on the PGA Tour.
Yeah, this is turning into the year that is going to give hope to every journeyman and aspiring hacker out there. I mean, you've seen guys like Vaughn Taylor, Brian Stewart, Jim Herman pop out of absolutely nowhere to win golf tournaments. Here you have James Hahn, who missed 8 straight cuts, and all credit to him. You don't need a lot of bites at the apple if you can take care of it when you get the chance, and he certainly did in that playoff against Roberto Castro.
Does it not also speak to the depth of talent on the PGA Tour that here's a player, as Ryan noted, had been struggling coming into this, and yet he still has enough game on the week when he's on song that he wins the thing?
Yeah, and I think it also speaks to just the fine line between a missed cut, you miss a cut by 1 or 2 shots when you're maybe not playing that poorly, versus being able to make it into the weekend, build some momentum. I mean, his game got better as the week progressed, Saturday into Sunday.
And look at what Jason Gore did in the final round. He improved by 18 shots. He's the exact same player.
65.
He 12 hours later, he goes up and shaves literally a shot, a hole, off his score. It's just remarkable, but like Will said, it's such a fine line. We hear players all the time say, oh, I'm so close. Rory and Phil saying right now, I'm so close. It wouldn't surprise you at all if they win this next week, because they're just a few tweaks here and there away from winning.
We may follow you up on that one, Ryan. Thank you very much for that.
And teaser.
Will, both of you guys, yeah, teaser.
Professional tease.
Professional tease. Professionally, you guys cover what's happening professionally for us week in and week out, along with Rex Hoggard, who's usually on his way to or from an airport somewhere, as he is today. Joining us on phone, Rex is with us. Rex, how are you?
Morning, Matt. What's going on?
We're glad to have you with us, and you just heard the tease from Ryan. We're talking about the Wells Fargo and some finishes, and I'm always curious, how do you judge here? Rory has a final round 66. Phil has a final round 66. Ricky did not have a great final round. Do you use the week before a big event, before this Players' Championship in this case, as a guide of what may lie in store, or is that something that you throw out with the wash?
I mean, I think James Hahn taught us once again that we throw those things out with the wash. I mean, you can sit there and study, you know, a guy's performance in recent weeks. You can study how he's played a particular golf course. But if he's just on and it's his week, I mean, as Ryan pointed out, I mean, that 8 straight missed cuts and to come back and win against a very, very deep field at Quail Hollow. But having said that, I mean, talking with the guys as they came off the golf course yesterday, I think Phil has a lot of confidence. Not just from what he did on Sunday, but just how his game was moving in the right direction. Rory as well. Even Adam Scott. And I think a lot of this is those guys took a lot of time off after the Masters. They intentionally did that to kind of rest up for the run that's coming with how packed the schedule is. And they knew that first week out there was going to be some rust. They knew they were going to struggle a little bit. They wanted to, I don't want to say they used Quail Hollow as sort of a tune-up for the players, but they certainly do everything they do last week with an eye towards TPC Sawgrass. So you have to be happy and a little optimistic with the way those guys finished on Sunday.
Rex, let's talk a little bit about Ricky Fowler. Couldn't convert the 54-hole lead. And last year he was really praised for the way that he closed out a lot of tournaments. Certainly impressive as we're looking out at the Players' Championship. Who could forget the way that he closed out that tournament? But now you back up what happened in Phoenix with Honda, Houston. He had a bad back nine there and then couldn't convert the 54-hole lead at Quail Hollow. You think that these past couple months have dented his reputation as perhaps one of the game's premier closers?
I don't know about his reputation. I will say this, that he didn't seem to take much concern out of what happened on Sunday. He pointed out he just didn't have his best stuff last week. He couldn't turn his driver over, and he really felt like he grinded just to put himself in the position where he was on Sunday to at least make a run. Now, what he's done over the course of the last 12 months, 4 worldwide wins since that win last year at the Players' Championship, I think that was an indication that we expected better from him on Sunday, and I think certainly he expected better of himself. But if you're fighting your swing, and I think he did that for 3 days and really saved himself with a lot of crucial putts, sometimes you're going to end up in a situation where it just doesn't work out. And it just didn't work out for him on Sunday. But I will point out, this was the first time, well, not the first time, but this would have been the first time he won a PGA Tour event after leading through 54 holes. And it's a different scenario. All of his tour wins came from behind, and spotlight's not on you. You're able to kind of go out, freewheel it a little bit. And he hasn't been able to do that on the PGA Tour. He did that earlier this year in Abu Dhabi on the European Tour, but that's a little bit different scenario. So I think it's just a different mindset when you go in on Sunday and you're the guy everyone's chasing versus the pack trying to go with someone else.
Rex, what are we to make of Justin Rose? This is a guy who's one of the game's best ball strikers. He missed the playoff by a shot this week, and he switched in recent weeks to the claw putting grip and continues to struggle mightily on the greens. I think he was 78th in putting out of the 78 guys that made the cut, and you saw it coming down the stretch that the claw putting grip just did not pan out for him. He's a guy who's perennially in contention on leaderboards, especially at big events, but the greens do not seem to be his friend at this point, correct?
You know, Will, of all the guys I spoke to yesterday, and Phil and Rory and even Ricky, Justin was the only one that seemed a little sideways about not losing. I felt like he looked at that as a very good opportunity to get a win going into a big part of the season. And a lot of that frustration was, as you pointed out, directly from the putter. And he mentioned that he's made the switch, and maybe, you know, it doesn't sound like he's completely sold on it. I don't know if he's going to show up next week at TPC using that same kind of claw grip simply because he doesn't have any confidence in it. I mean, it was that three putt on 16, I believe, that really put him behind. He didn't convert some birdie putts midway through his round that really would have kept James Hahn, again, behind him and having to play catch-up. I don't know that he's very comfortable right now on the greens. And as you pointed out, great ball striker. You would think going into a golf course like TPC Sawgrass, he'd have a lot of confidence. But right now, his putting has him aggravated.
Rex, that sound you hear currently is the construction now underway at Quail Hollow Club. Anyone who watched the action over this past week can take away that this is a very tough golf course, and it produces players who are certainly on top of their game. Does this course even need major renovations to be major championship ready?
You know what? If you listened real hard on Sunday, you could have heard the construction. Right as the leaders made the turn, they were already out preparing the front nine for basically demolition is what they're going to do to that front nine. And it's going to be a vastly different course when we show up there next year for the PGA Championship. And I love some of the takes from players because you're right. They love that golf course. It's very, very difficult, but I think all of them will say it's fair. They like going there and playing it. Phil probably had the best take. He just kind of smiled when we asked him about the changes and said, I like it the way it is, which is Phil's subtle way of saying, don't touch it, leave it alone, we like it. Lucas Glover brought up a good point. The tour players don't like change, and there's going to be some complaining. Well, the one thing that all of them pointed out is, as difficult as it was last week, consider next year when they go into it, we'll have brand-new greens, which will mean hard and bouncy and even quicker greens than what we had last week, and thick Bermuda rough, which you've never had at Quail Hollow. So I think everyone is bracing for a very difficult test next year, one way or the other, however the changes turn out.
Rex, we know you're on your way to or from an airport as usual, but I'd like to ask you about this week's Players' Championship. Oh, you okay? See? Before we lose your company this week.
Yeah.
Stop. Quick stop. So, Rex, let's talk about the players. There are so many storylines that we could point to. It's difficult, I think, to come up with what would be the number one storyline heading into the Players' Championship. Here we have Jordan back in action. We haven't seen him in 4 weeks. What can we expect from Danny Willett after those final rounds by Rory and Phil? Can we expect glory from them? The defending champion wasn't able to close at the Wells Fargo. Can he find his magic again at TPC Sawgrass? And there's Adam, and there's Bubba, and there's Jason. Where do we go?
Well, I really like where Rory is with his game right now. I mean, obviously, there was some rust last week, and I know Will's probably going to fall out of his chair when I say this, just like he almost fell out of his chair just now. But I think he has finally figured out the secret that is TPC Sawgrass. He has not been shy of saying that it's not his favorite course, and he can't quite figure it out. But he talked at length yesterday about saying that, look, I just need to resign myself to not hitting driver and to play from parts of the fairway where everyone else is playing and give up that advantage that he has when he's hitting the driver so far and so straight. I think that's a big move for him. I think it's a bit of an epiphany. It puts him over the top. And, again, there was very good signs last week that he has sort of moved out of this rut. And trust me, he's very motivated to get on the board in 2016. So he would be the first player I would watch. And Phil is probably the other guy. I mean, he's won on this golf course before, and there is an affinity for it. I mean, he says after winning the Open Championship, this was probably the biggest surprise of his career, winning there a few years ago. So I think it would be a big move for Phil this week. He almost sounded a little bit like he does when he drives down Magnolia Lane and gets to Augusta National.
Wait, you don't think one of the biggest storylines this week is that guy who blew the Masters from playing for the first time in a month?
No, absolutely. I think we're always going to be watching Jordan to see how he reacts.
He's the biggest story this week. It doesn't matter what Phil and Rory are doing. It's all about Jordan Spieth this week. How is he going to handle it? What's he going to say? Is his game sharp? Is he more motivated? So on and so forth.
Well, do me a favor. Push him out of the chair. Yeah,
I'm still getting into my chair, Rex. I'm still trying to get back from your Rory comments.
No, absolutely. It's a big story this week, but he answered those questions last week, did he not? I mean, I think everyone wants to see how
he comes out. They didn't answer your questions. They didn't answer your questions.
No, hold on. It's very different doing it up in Pittsburgh at the charity event than doing it on 18 holes of TPC Sawgrass in front of some of the biggest crowds in golf.
And keep in mind.
Sure. I don't think he's going to have a problem rebounding, though. I will take young Jordan at his word when he says that, look, my dog didn't die. This isn't life or death here. It is mitigated by the fact he already has a green jacket. He knows he will have a lot of opportunities. I don't think we'll see a shell-shocked, you know, smaller version of Jordan Spieth somehow just because of what happened on Sunday at Augusta.
No, I don't think he is going to be overly affected by this. But I do find it interesting, and you mentioned it with Ricky where he said, you know, I didn't really have my A game this past week, and, you know, I was just kind of forced to be in that position. That's the same thing Jordan Spieth said at the Masters. You know, I'm fortunate. I was my B game. I didn't really have it this week, so to give myself a chance to win a major was really great. This just seems like the new fallback option for players who don't close the deal. If they don't win a tournament, it's, well, you know, didn't really have my stuff this week.
Henrik Stenson said the exact same thing at Bay Hill.
Right. So it's what do you make of that, guys? And Rex, you can weigh in too. It just seems like it's the fallback option now for guys who don't close the deal.
Rex, well, I think it's a little unrealistic. I think we were conditioned during the Tiger Woods era that if someone had a 54-hole lead, they should just finish it out. And that's just not realistic. I mean, Jack Nicklaus finished 19 times runner-up in a major championship in his career. He did not get it done every time he had an opportunity. And I just don't think it's fair or wise to expect the same thing out of players today. Look, they're all great players. Ricky Fowler is a very good player. Jordan Spieth has already established himself as a great player. Rory McIlroy, the same thing. But they're going to have Sundays where things just don't fall into place for them.
I just think it goes as much as it makes it easier to sleep at night. If you're coming off the 18th green,
right,
you spend 72 holes thinking you're going to win. You have to find a way to remain positive about your result that's not a win. And that's the easiest way to go about it is to say, I overachieved because I had my B game and I still had an A-minus
result.
Isn't
that part of their competitive armor? I mean, didn't Tiger Woods trademark the I didn't have my A game today phrase?
He trademarked a lot. There's a long list of phrases.
But he never showed the media any weakness in his outlook. No matter what he did, it was, I couldn't get anything to drop today. Like, well, you couldn't hit a fairway either. But nonetheless, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Rex, we got to let you go, brother. I know you're probably in traffic out there because you sound a little irascible today.
Oh, no. I love talking to you guys.
Sure you do.
All right, brother. Thank you very much for joining us. You're going to be up at the Players and reporting accordingly, golfchannel.com and on television for us, right?
Happy Players Week, boys.
Okay, right, looking forward to it. We'll see you. Rex Hager joining us. All right, so let's continue down this path. You guys saw the survey, right? Mm-hmm. SI put it out. Will Tiger win again? What was it, 42-43% of
something
the tour
like
players
that. Yep.
Said that he's going to win again? If you guys were tour players and asked the same question, will he win again, Will?
I would first like to know when he's going to play again. I feel like that's the better question to answer. I mean, I guess...
What's the answer to that, tour player?
Well, that's tour player. My guess, based on absolutely nothing, would be Memorial.
Okay.
But
and these are just guesses based on where his schedule fits and timeline kind of works.
Yeah, I feel like there's three options for him to come back. It's either going to be Memorial, Oakmont as a combo. It's going to be Quicken Loans, British or Open Championship as a combo, or we're not going to see him for a while.
Right.
Now, that being said, if he's 40 years old, if he's coming back, if he's finally healthy, which is the biggest if of all, I think he's got a pretty good shot at winning a golf tournament. I don't know that he's going to win a major.
Better than 43%?
Yeah. I would say better than 50%. that he'll win something?
What's your take?
I would probably say no, just because of the great unknown factor. You don't know if he's actually rushing back or if he's fully healthy, or as healthy as a guy with three back surgeries can get. I just think the competition's too great. There's too many, there's too much baggage. There's too many mental scars now. The threat of re-injury is always kind of going to hover over this guy. So I would say no. I would.
Can't he win without his A game?
Not anymore. He can't.
Oh, I think he can. He nearly did at Wyndham. He nearly did at Quicken Loans last year. He was co-leader for 36 holes. But he's got something to build on. It's not like he's out there still shooting.
More scar tissue.
All right, I understand. I'm just saying that.
Also, Wyndham came completely out of nowhere. Let's not forget that.
That is true. But I think that if he, again, we're having to live in this world where we're saying that, yes, Tiger's going to come back and he's going to be healthy for at least a decent stretch of time. We got to talk about a couple months that he needs to be healthy and trust his game and be able to play from tee to green with confidence. And I think that then winning a golf tournament is going to be a huge motivating factor. We've talked so long for years and years about 18 majors and now getting to 15 majors. But I think that right now a realistic expectation or a realistic goal for him would be, listen, I want to go out and get a trophy. I want to beat these guys again. I think that would go a long way towards giving him a little injection of confidence and motivation for a couple of years.
If you guys would allow me, I want to circle back around to something, because you guys were both so good and so respectful with Rex and asking questions of Rex. There were a few questions that churned up during that conversation that I want to circle back around and ask you guys. First of all, to this concept of whether we were talking about Phil, particularly when we were talking about Rory, it was you know, there's rust. Give him a little bit of time. He's working on a couple little swing modifications. It's okay. This is the Players' Championship week, right? You've got Jordan coming in. We haven't seen him in 4 weeks. Danny's just coming back in from across the Atlantic after his Masters victory. We haven't seen him. Correct me if I'm wrong. The Players' Championship week doesn't seem like the week to come back after potentially having some rust hanging on the fence, no matter who you are.
Well, I think this is another compounding factor of the schedule. That this, for between the Masters and the Players, is the only time that guys are going to be able to get an extended break. Maybe they'll get, if they're going to skip a couple of the Texas events, that they can maybe get a couple weeks off. But really, once you go from here through the Ryder Cup, you're going to see a lot of the big names, certainly Spieth and Rory, are not going to have more than 1 week off in between events until October.
Yeah, this is the only time for Spieth. I mean, he's got to play the Texas events. And like you said, he doesn't have more than 2 weeks off.
Yeah.
Through October.
Yeah,
you got to get your rest somewhere.
So I don't think it's ideal for guys to be coming in to TPC Sawgrass off of 3 or 4 weeks off, but I think that when you look at the schedule from macro level, it's like, well, if I'm going to get my rest, I need to get it here because that's the last chance I'm going to get.
Here's a question I have about Rory McIlroy specifically. Did he find it or has he found it? Meaning that he was working on some swing changes. Is it there? Has he found what he's looking for? Or was this a flash on Sunday when he shot a 66?
I think he's shown flashes really over the last year, and it's kind of remarkable that he hasn't won on the PGA Tour now in more than 52 weeks. That's just kind of mind-boggling for a guy of his stature. But to me, there were flashes, sure. I mean, he's hit a 388-yard drive on 16, cut the corner, hit a lob wedge of 3 feet, but there was also some bungled chip shots and some poor putting inside 10 feet. So it's just not all there. It's just not sharp enough to win, especially when a guy like James Hunt kind of has a career week. Even Roberto Castro doesn't really make all that many mistakes. So he needs to just tighten it up, and TPC Sawgrass certainly is going to expose some of those weaknesses if he's not completely sharp.
Well, what do you think about the fact that in all these conversations and all these names and storylines that we've gone over already here on this Monday Monday Scramble podcast, that we haven't talked yet about Jason Day?
Yeah, that's true. He's still world number one.
The most forgettable world number one.
No, I think there's been a couple more forgettable than him. But, it's crazy to think that we just went through 8 different storylines we're looking at for the Players' Championship. We barely even touched on Ricky Fowler going back to the scene of the crime where he set the world on fire on those closing stretch. And, yeah, Jason Day is coming in. He's still winning at, what, 35, 40% clip over the last 8 months?
Yeah, I mean, he's just been so good since the summer. He just doesn't take a week off. But the thing about Jason, he doesn't go on vacation to the Bahamas. He doesn't blow major championships. So he's not the topic du jour. Currently, even though he is the world number one, he's probably going to factor again this week. He's just a ball-striking savant. And it's fun to watch him play, but he's not the sexiest player out there.
You know what's different, though, about Jason is that if you went back 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, he's a completely different person than he is now. He's different physically, just like Rory has changed his body shape and the strength that he has. But now, if you think about the Jason Day that we know now, major champion, contending, aside from being sidelined by his own ailments, which he seems to have more of than most players, in fairness, his game that he has now, it seems to me that if he is on song this week, he's the one guy that I could look at TPC Sawgrass at the stadium course and say, yeah, he could almost overpower a course that seems to be unoverpowerable.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like we've been talking about this for a year and a half of when they're playing their best, who wins between Jordan, Jason, and Rory. And I have been a long time advocate that Rory's best is the best. I know Lav feels like Jason.
Come over to the dark side.
Lav is the Jason Day apologist on the GolfChannel.com group. He has said for months that Jason Day's best would be.
Now, why are you saying that? Because of Rory's putter or because of the recent trouble off the tee?
I think it's two things. Jason Day, his combination of his drives and his short game are the best of any player currently. And I think you would probably put Rory second on that list. No offense to Jordan, but those two guys are just in a different ball striking category. Rory, though, just doesn't unlock his potential as often as Jason Day does. You look at what Jason Day has done over the past year. Every single week, he's bringing it, and he has a chance to win. Rory just seems to drift in and out.
In 2014, Rory was a two-time major champion. Are you saying in the last year and a half, he hasn't unlocked
that potential? In the last year and a half. And Jason Day, as we just mentioned, is a different player than he was in 2014.
I agree.
Now that Rex is gone, I'm allowed to disagree freely with what he had to say. But I feel like I'm out of my chair. So I feel like everything that he said about Rory is accurate, and also you could have played it back in March, and Rory's saying the same thing. It's all been talking about, I feel like I have my game there. He's going on runs of four or five birdies in six holes, but he's making doubles, and he's missing tee shots. And he talked in March about compounding mental errors and letting one bad shot affect him for three or four holes later, and I don't feel like he has really bucked that trend so far.
Yeah, you know, Rory might have the best game, but if he doesn't access it all that often, then what good is it?
Just see, that's what I was getting at, and I didn't want to be too leading. But here this week we're talking about Rory's driver. Mm-hmm. And his miss to the left.
We're not talking about the block putter.
That's what I'm saying. Up until this point, it was all about his putting.
Yeah.
Will he have his putting straight now? What will be there this week? Is he continuing to make contact with the ball and picking the putter head straight up, and it's causing it to miss to the right? So now there's another piece that we're talking about. I want to circle back around to something else because you brought up Rex again, and I can't remember which one of you two asked Rex the question about Ricky Fowler. In fact, I do remember.
This is so fun picking on Rex when he's not here.
I know, this is great.
This should be like a weekly segment.
We can work that in, I'm sure.
Why Rex is wrong. So you had asked him about Ricky, and I actually loved his answer because he covered all the bases.
Of course he does.
Right? You said,
of course he did.
Ricky couldn't close with a 54-hole lead. It's the first time he's had a 54-hole lead and couldn't close it. What do you think? He said, was it because of the lead? And he said, no, he just had a bad day. That was a game. He just had a bad day. Then he said, then again, he didn't close with a 54-hole lead. So I thought it was a great question. I thought it was an all-encompassing answer. Now I pose you with the question. What do you think happened?
I would say yes, it has damaged his reputation as one of golf's elite closers, which was the question that I posed to Rex, because think about where we were last year at this time. Ricky Fowler is overrated. He's only won, what, once on the PGA Tour. He won that event over in Asia as well a couple of years ago. But the way that he closed out the players, 6-under for his last six holes, birding 17 three times, I believe it was, making the birdies down the stretch in Scotland, playing really unflinching golf down the stretch to beat Henrik Stenson in Boston. And then even earlier this year in Abu Dhabi, he holed a bunker shot, late in that to win the tournament. So you said, wow, Ricky Fowler is one of the best closers on the PGA Tour. Look at the way he's gotten over this mental hurdle. He's just so tough to beat in this arena. What's happened since then? Phoenix, Honda, he had the 36-hole lead and just completely melted down on the weekend. Houston, Will, you're covering that tournament. He just didn't have it on the final day. And now Quail Hollow, yes, it was just a one-shot lead, and statistically he doesn't have the best percentage, players with one-shot lead, converting that into a 72-hole victory. But these are four missed opportunities now that Ricky hasn't been able to get it done.
Well, let me ask you a question. With what Ryan just laid out for us there, we have a whole series of players that we bring up their name, we chronicle how they're not who they were maybe a year ago, 6 months ago, 6 days ago, doesn't matter what it is. But in the interim period, they've all tasted success. They've won tournaments. They've done very well. Are we looking at a scenario where the best closers are the players that have a chip on their shoulder because they feel like they have something to prove?
I mean, certainly Fowler would go to that end. I think that he got a lot of motivation out of the overrated poll, both at the players last year and then through the 2015 season. But yeah, I feel like the guys need an edge when they're coming down the stretch, especially when they're trying to chase down leaders.
Hello, Patrick Reed.
Patrick Reed, great example. Patrick Reed lives with a chip on his shoulder, and it has benefited him greatly on the course. And that's why he has been able to win at a higher rate than maybe some other players of his age or skill level or what have you. That, yeah, I think that it helps to have that chip and to have that extra motivation coming down the stretch versus being the guy with the target on your back. That we've seen, what, we're at 20% right now over the last couple of years of 54-hole one-shot leads have gone on to win. I mean, that's one in five. Four out of five times, guys are getting chased down by someone from that chase back.
I got another question for you guys. Here you were talking about Ricky. We were talking about world number one, number two, and number three. Let's talk about the big four. We haven't talked about Danny Willett yet. Danny Willett
just won. I don't even remember what Danny Willett looks like.
Right. Yeah. He just wins the Masters, right? And the conversation is still about Ricky. I get it. He's defending champion this week. He was 54-hole leader at the Wells Fargo. I understand it. All I'm saying is, are we forgetting about Danny Willett in all this mix? I know he's been gone for a few weeks now, in fairness, but where are we?
We've been forgetting about him because he basically disappeared from
public life. He wanted to be forgotten.
Yeah, he wanted to be forgotten. He left for 4 weeks, and he disappeared. So he's going to be coming back, and you know, we're going to see how he adjusts to life as a major champion. We've seen Bubba Watson in the past where he wins a major and kind of goes through the rest of the season kind of in a daze. And we've seen Jordan Spieth, who carried his first major victory into one of the best seasons that we've seen all time. So I'm really curious to see how he's going to play this week. You would expect some competitive rust like perhaps we saw from Roy last week. But this is a player who we saw building towards a major victory in Danny Willett. It wasn't like this completely came out of left field. So where do we go from here? I don't really know. I don't pretend to know. But it wouldn't surprise me at all if he's able to build on this for the rest of 2016.
I would credit Danny Willett. He did not skimp on the celebration. Lots of tweeting pictures. He had a great time after winning the Masters with his wife and newborn son. Now he's getting back to business. I think that part of the effect that you were talking about, Matt, is just he was building towards a major championship or potential major, but it came so out of the blue on Sunday, specifically at the Masters, that no one thought it was going to happen. And so in the span of 8 hours, you went from I'm not thinking about Danny Willett to Danny Willett has a green jacket, and then poof, he's gone in the middle of the night the next day. So I think we need to see a little more out of him. I want to see him play this week. He's going to play the BMW PGA, some of those big events in Europe, and we're going to have to see, Lav, as you were saying, how he adjusts to life on a bigger stage as a major champion.
And fair or not, Matt, Danny Willett is still the guy who benefited from Jordan Spieth's collapse at the Masters. He's not necessarily the guy who's going to be remembered as the one who shot 67 and went out and won the Masters.
His win is going to be viewed differently than Schwartzel in 2011.
100%.
I'm not 100% with you on that yet. I think time will tell.
The reason I'm saying that is that
I'm not using just a cliche and moving on from it. I didn't have his A game. What I'm saying is that if Danny goes on and wins four or five or six or eight major championships, people are going to look back on that and say he did what he had to do on Sunday. He shot a 67, didn't have any bogeys, and he was able to close the deal. If he disappears, then the only thing people are going to remember is what Jordan Spieth did on that day at the 12th hole. We've only got about 2 minutes left here for our parting shots. Did you guys see this photo?
Uh-oh,
caption this for me with Vanilla Ice, Lindsey Vonn, and Jordan Spieth at the Under Armour 20th birthday celebration. Are you guys in the background?
The thing that keeps throwing me about this is the Vanilla Ice soul patch, whatever he's got going on below the chin there, just matches Lindsey Vonn's necklace so perfectly that I keep forgetting which one is the necklace.
Wow. It's interesting that you picked that up. Yeah, that's quite an observation.
It is.
I've looked too much at this picture.
Lindsey Vonn has certainly been visible in recent weeks. I began following her on Snapchat, and I do not regret that decision.
There you go.
But single life is treating her well, and good to see her having a good time.
All right, there you go. Sean, there's nothing else I even want to pick up on. Just letting it go, especially the Snapchat. John Daly, this past weekend, out on the PGA Tour Champions for the first time. I asked you the question, although I hesitate. I'm forcing myself to ask it. How do you grade him?
Like a B,
a J,
B minus, something like
I'd
that.
I give him a B.
I mean, he didn't play all that all that well, which wasn't a complete surprise since he's only played one tournament so far in 2016. But I didn't think there was as much buzz as I anticipated John Daly's debut make. I thought it was going to be tune-in television, make sure you're watching, tweeting about it, all that. It just seems like he kind of came in.
You wonder if he was leading after two rounds, if it would have changed things. Obviously,
right,
everyone would have got fired up for it and said, watch him win again.
I think that's fair to say.
He'll get into contention eventually this summer because he's playing pretty much every week as long as he can stay upright. And so when that happens, when he's on the leaderboard, then I think it's going to ratchet up a little bit.
Folks, thanks for watching our Monday Scramble podcast. Ryan Lavner, Will Gray, thanks, guys. It was a lot of fun. Appreciate
the time.
Thanks for having me.
See you.